1 John chapter 3, read a couple of verses there. The psalmist said in 37th division of the Psalms, in verse 23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. We can look at failure, or we can look at faith. Failure along the lines of being a verb, action, activity. Faith along the lines of a noun, steadfastness of our faith. In 1 John, he tells us in chapter 3, let's look at verse number 19 to begin with and read the 20th one as well. And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Let me read that to you out of the Amplified. By this we shall come to know, perceive, recognize, and understand that we are of the truth and can reassure or quiet, conciliate, and pacify our hearts in his presence whenever our hearts in tormenting self-accusation make us feel guilty and condemn us. For we are in God's hands, for he is above and greater than our consciences, our hearts, and he knows, perceives, and understands everything. Nothing is hid from him. The Amplified adds a page or two to those verses, but it does maybe give us a little bit different perspective or the depths of what he's saying. Condemnation to the heart is something that perhaps every one of us has faced, is facing, or will face. Condemnation of the heart can come in various ways or from various angles, facets. And I might even say this, I am going to say tonight, that condemnation of the heart can come from different reasons or for different reasons. Sometimes the condemnation of the heart comes simply because the enemy is fighting and attacking, and there's a physical limitation that is giving him a foothold or an avenue in which to get into a person's life. In other words, there are physical things that are taking place in a person's life, and it gives them a point of discouragement right off the bat, and the enemy works on that. I talked about it just a little bit this morning, praying for those that are in these conditions and in these situations. Then there's also a reason for condemnation of the heart that comes from willful disobedience. Now, there are some extremes that take place when we talk about grace. Sometimes when we talk about grace in sight or in light of failure, sometimes people that are very sensitive and very conscientious, we call them conscientious people, and sometimes we might even describe them as overly conscientious, that every little thing, every small, minuscule mistake and failing, not in the way of sinful things, but just every little thing of failing and weakness is translated to the spiritual side in those people's lives and their hearts, and they bring about a condemnation from that. The enemy works on that and brings about a condemnation. On the other side, the other extreme is that a person lives on a daily basis of repenting at bedtime. That they just go ahead and do whatever they want to do, and they think that, well, you know, God's gracious, God's merciful, and as long as I repent, that everything will be fine and everything will be good at the end of the day. then there's another side to it that says that people don't even know. They're not even aware. They're not even conscious. They're living right and everybody else is living wrong. If you're in that place, then you're in a dangerous place. Because it's difficult to get through to somebody that can't see themselves the way God sees them. Sometimes this subject is a little different or difficult because of the broad spectrum of personalities that a person may be speaking to. And that is very likely this evening in this congregation. And I don't want to hurt or harm anybody on the conscientious side. I don't want to give leeway to anybody on the self-righteous side. So it's a fine line to be able to pull it in to where we are able to effectively deal with these kinds of subjects and not hinder both sides. When John said, if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart, he's not saying that we can live however we want to live. He's simply saying that there is the possibility of tormenting accusation that makes us feel guilty and bring about a feeling of condemnation. But when we have not sinned against God, then there's no need for us to feel that condemnation. God is greater than that heart condemnation. And again, that does not give room for people just to go and live however they want. But it does give us an understanding that God is aware of our heart. Now that's the key. That is the key. God is aware of our heart. He knows all things. He is fully aware, as the Amplified said, nothing is hid from him. He knows it all. He perceives and he understands. You and I have a measure of ability to perceive things. Now, I think we have to be very careful because when we are successful at being in our perception, at understanding something that may have been hidden, that we get a little bit self-righteous or a little bit arrogant and think that we can perceive everything and that all of our perceptions are good. Quite often, I would say that quite often our perceptions can be faulty. But because we have perceived successfully once or twice in our lives, we think that, well, we must have some special gift. We have to be careful. We have to be conscious of what we're doing or what we're saying. But God is able to perceive 100% of the time. His perceptions are accurate all the time. He perceives our heart. He understands our heart. After a message this morning of speaking about the infilling of the Holy Spirit, and in that filling of the Holy Spirit, we understand that there is a cleansing, even as Peter said that he purified our hearts by faith in reference to that day, looking back. We understand that that is what takes place. And somehow we have developed in our mind this thinking that a person that is sanctified or that is filled with the Spirit does not face temptation the way an unsanctified person would face it. A person that is filled with the Spirit, has been cleansed by the Holy Spirit, still has the possibility of facing temptation. And temptation comes from what? From the enemy, from Satan. We understand that. James tells us that we are drawn away of our own lust and enticed. You see, there's things about a person's life. It's something about our humanity that God has created us. And through fallen nature, even though we believe in a new nature, that God provides a new nature, there is still something that is able to attract our attention, even as it did the holy people in the Garden of Eden. Somebody says that you can't fall or that there's no temptation that can grab you or reach you after you've been sanctified, then go back to the Garden of Eden and try to decide how they fell when they were completely holy without any experience of sin. It's possible to be tempted even as a sanctified person. It is possible then, if it's real temptation, for a person who has been sanctified to fall into that temptation or fall into condemnation. It may be a weak point. Some weakened point. Maybe you can agree with me on this, that after you have experienced a high tide spiritually, there's a spiritual battle that is waiting for you just down the road. You know when the greatest mental battle is that I face? The weekend after youth camp. Every year I can count on it. Every year I can expect it. Maybe part of that battle is because I expect it. Maybe it's because I am anticipating it. But it's there. Every year I know it. I can drive down the road and I can just expect at any point as I'm coming home from youth camp that there's going to be a confrontation of some sort of the enemy fighting mentally. You don't experience that perhaps exactly the way that is, but perhaps you've experienced something along that line. I'm not one for willingly going and being involved with public speaking. I just as soon stay home, you know, and preach on Sundays and be a pastor. I don't want to be the one traveling the road. But I did speak at IH Convention a few years ago. Some of you would remember that time. And it was, even though it was just a short message, a 10-minute opportunity, I still felt it after that was all over. The attack of the enemy. You see, it's at those points of sudden attack from Satan that, and he will attack at a weak point. He won't attack at your strong point. I've said before that it really doesn't affect me to have any kind of thing placed in front of me in the area of temptation to smoke. I just, you know, that's not a temptation to me. The devil never tempts me on smoking. Now, he may tomorrow because I've said such a statement tonight. But it's a moot point. I don't have any desire to do that. There's a lot of things that I don't have any desire to do. And so, you know, quite frankly, the devil doesn't fight me in those areas. But where does he fight me? He fights me in points of weakness or in points of tender closeness or after the spiritual victories have been won, and he brings in this barrage of the mental attack and he's trying to destroy. He's an accuser of the brethren. We do understand, we do know, we have to keep that in mind. But someone said that the kind of defeat that is brought about because of sin of ignorance is not something for a person to get despondent about. But the moment that they recognize that they have committed that something against the Holy Spirit or against God, that there is in the heart, God knows it's there, but in the heart there's that immediate response of repentance. sorrow for that. My dad used to tell me, because I said I was sorry an awful lot when I was a kid. My dad used to tell me, if you're really sorry, you'll quit doing what you're doing. Didn't quite agree with him then, but I see his point as I've gotten older. Because it was always easier just to say, I'm sorry, and then go do it again. You know, God is faithful to forgive, but you see, he knows our heart. He knows if we're really, truly sorry for that sin, if we're truly sorry. Even if it's willful transgression, even if it's something that takes us by surprise, and if we were to stop and think about it, we would know that it's wrong, but because of the attack and the surprise and the suddenness and oh no, I did that. No. What is it within the heart that changes? It's that surrender that gives us the ability to immediately put it in reverse and say, I'm sorry. Willful sin should bring about an immediate condemnation. Even though there's an immediate condemnation, does not mean that one is immediately a practicing sinner or a backslider, but God is ready to give forgiveness to the ready heart that says, I'm sorry. He is not giving us the feeling of condemnation to give us notice that he has departed from us. That's not the point of condemnation. The point of condemnation is to bring us back immediately to the path. God knows if we are truly repentant, and he deals with us in mercy. But again, I have fears on both sides here that the conscientious person, we don't want to harm them, but we also, neither do we want to increase the feeling of license to sin. On the other hand, it does not mean that a person can just live by bedtime repentance. Now, if you need, as the old cliche goes, if you need to ride the altar to heaven, then by all means ride the altar to heaven, but you don't need to do that. There comes a point in time when you can get victory over that. Now, I know that that statement may not be fitting here because nobody's riding the altar in reality to heaven. But if you're secretly riding the altar to heaven as a bedtime repentance person, then there comes a point in time when you can be victorious. You don't have to do everything that comes down the pike in the way of temptation. We don't have to fall every time there's temptation. There is victory in Jesus. We sang about that tonight, didn't we? Thank you, Mason. Victory in Jesus. As we walk with him, as we are tuned to him, as we are listening to him, Dr. Hoffman says, throughout my Christian life, I have made it a practice to right anything which was wrong promptly upon discovering it. There have been many blunders on my part, but the blessed Holy Spirit has been faithful in all his dealings with me. He said, in the language of the late Joseph Smith, I have not slept outside of Canaan since the day that I entered that experience many years ago. Psalmist said, though he fall, though a good man fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. If our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart. See, it comes right back to the secret of it all, and that is, in the words of this morning, are his laws written on my heart? That's where it comes back to. No matter if we're on the side of things as being overly conscientious or the other side that anything goes, it comes right back to our heart. God's aware of our heart. Now that's discouragement, perhaps, or condemnation to the one on the side that says they can, they're limitless in their ability to do and to be and live, and just come back and say, "I'm sorry," but that is a consolation to the side of the conscientious. God is aware and He's gracious and He's merciful. We can trust in Him. Defeat need not destroy us. But our faith, the noun faith, can give us what we need to overcome the failure and walk with Him and be victorious in Him. I'm talking victorious in Him. Walking faithfully with Him. Let's stand together. Trust you have a good week this week. Be a blessing to somebody. Encourage somebody. Lift the load of somebody. Pray one for another. Praise God. Praise God. Gabe, would you dismiss us tonight in prayer?